Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert Breer joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as he joins us every single Thursday here throughout the year. Albert, welcome to the show. Can I get you officially on Guardians bandwagon knowing there's not a chance in hell the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs?
I guess so. I haven't watched baseball at all this year, so you're going to have to fill me in on a whole bunch of stuff. But, yeah, they got in, right? So, and I like Tito's still there, right?
No, Stephen Vogt, new manager.
Oh, see, that's how little I know right now. So I would jump on board. I would jump on board to that. I don't know if I can pull for you guys to win the whole thing just because – I got too many friends that have been easy targets that are from there over the years, and that would kind of take that away. But I can at least root for them in the first couple of rounds.
Well, but think about this. The Guardians likely will have to beat the Astros in the first round. Who doesn't hate them? And then to go to the World Series in the ALCS, they'd probably have to beat the Yankees. As a Boston fan, what more could you want? Yeah. Out of a Cleveland team.
I guess you're right. So, go Guards.
That was the most haphazard. Go Guards. that was you pacifying me, and I appreciate it.
You didn't believe me saying that?
No.
Well, I still thought Tito was there, so you can see where I stand.
Albert, I guess we'll start here with the lack of offense early in the season. There have been some wild theories about what the NFL should do to fix the offensive problem. Is the NFL concerned about the lack of offense and certainly passing offense early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little too early for that. I think you have to get at least a month to 6 weeks under your belt before you really make any sort of sweeping conclusions about the way things are going. But, they've gone in to correct some of these things, and I use the word correct with air quotes, because – I don't know that, a lot of football people would necessarily think anything is necessarily wrong. But I do think some of this is attributable to the bastardization of the offseason and how the rules have made it so it's harder and harder for teams to get ready to go play football. We've seen sloppy play really over the last decade or so because of the changing dynamics of the offseason. So that's part of it. And I think the other piece is just the way football evolves, and it's just, I always laugh when you get and I was this person at one point too, but you get people who are, first covering the league and they're 25, 26, 27 years old. And they think that whatever is new in the league at that point is revolutionary. And the truth is that football just kind of keeps it evolving and, it's like this big cat and mouse game, right? I think you see more power running games now. Well, why is that? Well, that's because teams have been building defenses for the last 10 years to gear up to play the pass. And so they've got lighter pass rushers on the field. They've got lighter linebackers in the field. They've got converted corners playing safety. And what logically makes sense to do to combat that? Run right at it, right? So, I think a big part of this is always the cat and mouse game that's not just pro football, it's just the sport in general, and the way the sport works. So, after a couple of weeks, I wouldn't draw any sweeping conclusions. I would say that if scoring does wind up being down over the course of the full year, the league has shown us in the past that they are going to do something about it because, you know, very clearly over the years they've shown us that they want scoring.
Albert, it seems like a fair amount of Browns fans in the NFL are grading Deshaun Watson on a curve, which is fine, by the way, probably understandable. But do you think that how we grade Deshaun early, given the passing numbers, for instance, the numbers don't look awe-inspiring against Jacksonville, but you watch the tape, it's actually pretty good tape for Deshaun. Like, should the offenses around the NFL struggling inform kind of our early expectations with Deshaun?
I think the other thing that should inform you is the offensive line situation, which, I mean, you'd have to imagine is going to get better, right? Like that you're going to get Jedrick Wills back at left tackle. You're going to get Jack Conklin back at right tackle. And when you've had those two guys out there, now Bill Callahan's gone, and that's a factor, right? Like, but, you know, when you have those two guys out there, you've had, you know, one of the better offensive lines in all of the NFL. So, like, I think my expectation would be they'll get better in that area, which will make them better everywhere else on offense. So, yes, there was progress week over week. You know, I think you can also kind of look at, like, what happened in week one. And a lot of unscouted looks, you know, I think are a factor, you know, in what Dallas was able to do. Like, you had no idea going into week one how Mike Zimmer was going to use Micah Parsons, right? And I think flying blind in a situation like that is more difficult. It was more manageable in week two. Jacksonville's got a new defensive coordinator too, but, you know, I think they have fewer game changing players on that side of the field. So, you know, like you had a little bit less of a lift, I would say, for your offense. So I think all kinds of factors, you know, play into it. And that's part of the reason why I'm saying, like, you know, you got to get like 4-6 weeks into the season before you can really start to draw conclusions, because, you know, each of these matchups are like uniquely different. And especially early on when you might be facing teams that have new coordinators, and the Browns have had two of those in a row, and they'll get a third on Sunday going against the Giants and their new defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We still are going to get back to reacting to the Guardians clinching the playoff berth with a win, a walk-off win, no less, over the Twins here in Cleveland. The five.
You guys have T-shirts yet?
They don't make them in 3XLT, but there are T-shirts out there, Albert.
Okay. I remember being a kid and always being excited about that. Now as an adult, it seems like, why would you buy one? You know what I mean?
We got to get you to believe a little bit more here, buddy. Like,
I guess I sound like a jerk, don't I?
I would say jaded. You were too nice to be a jerk, but I would say a little jaded.
Yeah, maybe that's the word. Okay, well, I'll work on it.
It's all right. We all got stuff to work on. Speaking of working on things, Amari Cooper leads the league in drops through the first 2 weeks of the season, and there's been some body language stuff in games, some eye rolling. We remember the Instagram post after the Ayuk trade, the hypothetical trade got leaked. There was the contract kerfuffle with the Browns where he admitted would have liked to get a long-term deal there, was not necessarily pleased that he didn't. And then on the field, he's struggling. Do we know if in any level what's going on with Amari is more than just this is basically his preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think I look like there was some frustration for him at the end in Dallas, you know, and so I think you can certainly keep an eye on it. You know, a lot of times you send a veteran player into a contract year, and you know, these sorts of things can happen. You know, like where like the player is going to look at it and say, you know, where's the team really at with me? You know, and so I think that all becomes relative to how he plays, right? Like, so if you can get him going and he's playing well, then like everybody wins, right? Like, because then you're getting a good level of production of the player, and the player is setting himself up to get paid. And, you know, whether or not you wind up renewing the relationship, you know, in February or March, you at least have everybody on the same page. If he isn't playing well, that's where you can have a problem, you know? And so I think it's sort of on the coaches to get him going. And, yeah, he's not the only one on offense who's been off to a little bit of a funky start. And, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the trouble the Browns have had pushing the ball down the field, which, again, can relate to their offensive line issue. I think that's just something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And You hope that, you know, he can, you know, have a get himself out of his rut a little bit and start to play a little bit better. And, you know, then you get again into that, like, everyone wins type of situation.
Albert, one more before we let you go. Mike Hall Jr., Brown second round pick this year, former Ohio State product. He did plead guilty, or sorry, no contest to a lesser charge than the initial domestic violence charges that he was arrested on about a month ago. How, because you've been all over a lot of these stories with the NFL and the commissioner's exempt list. Do we know how this could impact the timeline for the NFL's investigation and potential punishment?
Yeah, it speeds it up, certainly. Like, you know, like one thing that they've been really careful about, and, you know, more recently is, like, they don't want to jump in front of the legal process anymore. You know what I mean? Like, so they don't want to be in a situation where they're, you know, like making decisions before the law does, before the courts do, before the police do. Like, they don't want to get in front of that. So, you know, the fact that this now has, you know, reached a resolution means, like, that the NFL is in play to do something about it. Will they? I don't know. But, you know, it does put them in a position now where it's like, okay, like, we have the information and now we can wrap up our own investigation. We can go and sit down and talk to Mike Hall himself, and we can put a bow on it. Like, if this thing had dragged through the course over the course of the year, my guess is the league wouldn't have done anything about it. This puts them in position to reach a conclusion with, you know, what they're going to do here, and whether or not that includes a suspension, a fine, whatever, you know, is really, you know, in their hands. But at least it can happen now based on the legal process wrapping up.
Albert, can I get a go guards out of you with some real zeal here before we let you go?
Go guards. How about that? Does that sound fake? Doesn't it?
Just one more time.
Go guards.
All right. All right, we'll work on it. We got time to work on it. Appreciate
you. The name's new too, so it does sound, it does feel like weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's still, I don't know. It's still different. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, except saying it's just different. It comes out of your mouth a little bit different. You know what I mean?
We got October to get this right, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Albert Breer there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hotline, and they now make the playoffs for the 16th time in Cleveland baseball history, which is a wild stat because so many of those have come in the last 30 years. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 01, and then obviously the 07 team. We've got the 2016 team, 2017, now 2022. I'm missing a few, by the way. This is an inexact science, but obviously now in 2024. And I got to be honest with you guys. I know Jason and I had a Donnybrook about celebrating things. I don't know if I could whittle down, if I could distill a vibe from something that I saw since the Guardians have started celebrating the playoff berth here, it would be Jonkensie Noel doing post-game interviews with a translator. He's there. Angel Martinez is to his left. Hosey is to his right. And Big Christmas is sitting there with a stogie that he's trying to get going. And he just looks like the absolute most perfect vibe you could ever have. It was so awesome just to watch. Like, here's the thing. I don't know if Jonkensie is going to be a good major league player, a great major league player, or just a 4A player. I don't know. But I will tell you, that man has vibes like he is Aaron Judge or like he is Barry Bonds. So obviously we're talking about this. I did just throw this out here, guys. 216-474-0092. The Guardians would not be where they are without fill in the blank. Got a lot of submissions coming in. At Nick Wilson says, but it's time I finally give my mea culpa that I've been teasing since we started talking to Albert Breer in the last segment about 25 minutes ago. So on principle, I was infuriated by the Guardians' approach at the deadline last year. I realized that it was probably not likely that the team was going to find its rhythm in August and then springboard into a playoff run. I also understand that at some point you were nursing three young starters, going up against innings limits. You had, so many different injuries you were dealing with, and you also had a few players peaking at the right time, namely Aaron Civale. But last year, we were at Browns training camp when the Civale and Josh Bell trades happened during the deadline. And I'll be honest with you, I was infuriated, simply on principle. While it is wildly early to say that the trade is a rousing success, I can admit I was wrong about being incensed with that because the Civale for Manzardo thing has paid dividends this year. And it has paid dividends here as soon as this series, as soon as the month of September when Kyle Manzardo's come back. And, today Stephen Vogt did something, and I don't know how – it's going to be really interesting to see how they try and build the lineup with Stephen Kwan back, with Angel Martinez, who today was not great, 3 strikeouts and 5 at-bats, but previously has been a pretty strong fill-in for the Guardians atop the lineup. But today they put Manzardo in the 2 spot. And he went 3 for 3, had a home run with a ribby. And honestly, it's the kind of thing we've talked a lot about. We got to find a way to get production out of the 2-hole. And I know that either Angel Martinez or Lane Thomas might have some claim in certain lineups to that 2 spot. It is one game. He still needs to continue to do this in the postseason. That said, that was a really bright. I really like that move by Stephen Vogt today, having Manzardo in the 2-hole. So this is not why I'm giving my mea culpa on the Civale trade, but I was an emotional boy. I was wrong. Kyle Manzardo, even if he's not a 3 or 4 or 5 hitter, Manzardo, really, I mean, this trade looks like it's going to start paying dividends for you very, very soon here. So that is my, I will admit, I was wrong there. This year has proven, both in the fact that Civale is a slappy again, and respectfully, and that Kyle Manzardo has started to rake for them. I get it. I was wrong. I'd like some extra credit because I was right about the Guardians, but for this year, or for last year, that was the right move. 216-474-0092. The Guardians would not be where they are without fill in the blank. And my favorite thing about this, guys, is when we initially conceived this topic goes all the way back to August, and we kept waiting for the right time to put it into the show. I believe four different co-hosts that I've had since August have believed that they were going to go with this topic on air. But my favorite thing about this topic is, much like the Guardians postseason rotation, you can change this conversation changes every time we have it. We just have never finally brought it to the air, which is what we're going to do right now. And my favorite thing is, one, when we initially conceived this a month ago, Keith was going to go with John Kensey Noel. And I can't remember who was there the specific day, but somebody else we had on the show, I think it was Fedor. I think Fedor was going to go with Stephen Kwan. And we asked like a third person, and they said Emmanuel Classe. The brilliance about this question is it really does prove that there is something that this team does, that the organization does. It's not just a team accomplishment that allows teams like this to evolve into winners in a short period of time. And to now do that without Tito Francona, and now to do it with Stephen Vogt, to do it without Shane Bieber. And if you told me Shane was going to miss all but two games this season, or two starts this season, I probably would have said this team wasn't going to hit the over. And to do this with, I mean, piecemealing a rotation for 6 months. I don't think you guys, do we all realize how hard that is to win 90 games in a season? Like, go for the two seed in what is quite apparently a loaded American League. Like, if you look around, like, the high water mark right now with 10 games to go, 9 games to go, is 90, 91 games. So most teams, like, the high water mark for probably the best team in baseball is probably going to be 96 wins if they're lucky. So, and the playoff field has been tremendous. There's you know, 10 teams in the playoff hunt as well for as little spots as they have. 6 spots. Like, I just continue to come back to, if you had asked me any of the 4 other times we were going to host this segment and put this on air, I probably would have given you 4 different answers. 216-474-0092. As we celebrate the Guardians' success, the Guardians would not be where they are without fill in the blank. Steve, fill that blank, my friend.
One second. I'm going through Easy Pass right now, and we're good. Okay. So what I wanted to share is, first of all, my answer is going to be based on what have you done for me lately. Sorry, David Fry. If my answer is a combo of John Kensey Noel and Kyle Manzardo. And why I would say them, I would say at the beginning of the year when we were looking at people like Will Brennan, Esteban Floreal, Tyler Freeman, I was wondering to myself, man, what if one of these guys can approach 20 home runs or bat over 250, 260? What if one of them can really break out? Wouldn't that be exciting? And I feel like in the last like 40 games, it's been a combination of John Kensey and Kyle that have been that crucial extra bat that we so desperately need to get everybody going and have those crucial home runs. And if you combine those two guys over the last, like I said, 40 games, I think you look at that and you go, oh my goodness, that is what we would have wanted at the beginning of the year. I'm just so happy with both of them. I love Kyle's moment where Stephen Vogt cried. I love John Kensey Noel's home runs. I really hope he can figure out how not to chase curveballs. But I just love those two. I really hope one of them continues to grow and succeed, if not both. What do you think?
I will say, I think both Manzardo and Noel in the last 2 months have had moments where it's felt like they were the most important player. And that is wild in a lineup with Jose Ramirez when Kwan was healthy, and with Josh Naylor, who for the first time in his career has played more than 130 games and has hit 30 home runs plus for the first time in his career. That's wild to say in that lineup, Steve.
Right, and it gives you optimism. I feel like if you can count on at least one of them to produce, and maybe some of the other guys like Rocchio, like now you feel like you have a chance in the playoffs because it's not just 2 or 3 guys carrying us. That's all I wanted to say. Have fun.
Steve, we appreciate you, buddy. 216-474-0092. The Guardians would not be where they are without fill in the blank. You know, it's weird. Like, it's such a small sample size between Angel Martinez and Kyle Manzardo and Schneeman. David Fry was an all-star. He's not really been that guy for a minute. I think he's super banged up, by the way. I think the fact that his shoulder is bugging him enough he can't play catcher probably goes a long way into figuring out. I'm sure some of this was just a natural regression because the man hit the cover off the ball the first X amount of times, but I think the injury is the other part here. But, you know, you start to look at Jimenez, Rocchio, Bo Naylor, and you can start to see that, you know, even though the Guardians aren't a, and I've heard this, like one of the first things when I said the Guardians, you know, I tweeted out, and Nick Wilson says, by the way, I tweeted out, you know, Guardians made the playoffs, hell yeah. And I tweeted out, and one of the first things is, it's going to be over in four games, they don't have enough bats. And I get that if we start comparing this lineup to other lineups, it's a tough sell when you're going up against Aaron Judge. It's a tough sell when some lineups are nine deep. What I think does make the Guardians so much fun to watch is you just don't know who it's going to be on any given night. And that can run dry. That can cost you in the playoffs. It cost you in 2016. That's part of the reason why you went from up 3-1 to losing the World Series to the Cubs. At the same point, this team has more playoff experience than that team had. And you know what? Because I think it's important to remember, they were a game away from being in the ALCS 2 years ago. So even though Martinez, Manzardo, and Rocchio, and some of these young guys, Tanner Bibee, even though those guys don't have playoff experience, a bulk of the guys that were here do. And I think that's where a guy like Austin Hedges, better, but should pay dividends. We're having some of the vets that you do have here, where I think even Alex Cobb, and I know that's sacrosanct to say you might count on him or that he might be a secret weapon in the playoffs, but I do think like these are the kind of things that add up, because when you go to the playoffs, it's going to be the Tigers that have no playoff experience. When you go to the playoffs, it's going to be the Orioles that have no playoff experience. The Guardians might not have as much as the Astros, but they should have enough to have a little bit more guile, a little more giddy up, a little bit more get through it, stick to itness, whatever you want to call it, than they did 2 years ago. Let's go with Dan. The Guardians would not be where they are without fill in the blank, Dan.
Hey, guys. I hate that you're making me choose, but I think because it's so hard to choose between the players, I got to go with Vogt. And I love what you just said about, like, the playoff experience and the grit and the stick-to-itness, which I don't know if that's a word, but we should patent it. I think the other thing that we have that we didn't have 2 years ago is just a group of killers. I mean, you saw it when Manzardo hit that two-run go-ahead a couple nights ago where he turns around and throws the bat. Josh Naylor, I think someone on the broadcast last night, it might have been Andre or somebody, talked about how there's this fury that's always boiling right below the surface with Naylor. And you got guys like Cobb, for example, Lively. I mean, you have a group of absolute killers in this lineup that maybe everyone's not on at the same time because they've been doing that all year where they've been picking each other up, even between the pitching and the offense. But you have this group of killers that I just don't feel like we had the same vibe, to go back to your word, with Noel. It just doesn't feel like they have that. It's a different vibe this year than it was 2 years ago.
Dan, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much. Go Guards.
Go Guards.
I almost said Gardos, but you never know who is in on Gardos and who is out on Gardos. Colin Jones on Twitter, by the way, at Nick Wilson says, saying, the power of friendship. It's really funny. Very, very funny, Colin. So I'm not giving mine yet, but I think the Vogt thing is really interesting, because I think if you're going to give it to Vogt, I think you might have to give it to the front office. 216-474-0092. The Guardians would not be where they are this season without fill in the blank. We're going to get to more of your submissions, and I'll finally pick one next on 92.3 The Fan. As the Guardians have clinched the playoff spot, there's still some work to do. You got a three-game magic number for the division, four games for the two seed in baseball, and Mac is actively trying to kill me. He is. I don't know if he wants my job. I don't know. Maybe he's just sick of me. But, you know, we watched the Guardians game, which already took 3.4 years off my life. And then knowing that the Yankees, who are currently losing to the Mariners in, I believe, the fifth inning, knowing that there's a tense game going on, a 3-2 Mariners lead, he's going to put that game on in the studio, which might be the thing that lops the next 20 years off my life. So if at any point that you start hearing Mac Robinson as the lead host in the rest of the show, it's because he killed me. By putting the Yankees-Mariners game on, it's not 38 years of bad dietary habits. It's not general laziness or choosing a career path that does literally nothing to preserve the longevity of life because it makes you sit your fat ass on a couch and watch sports all the time, and also it helps that you get to eat a lot of good food. No, none of those things. It is the Yankees game is now on in the background here, but we're talking about the Gardos. By the way, go Mariners. We are talking about the Gardos here, and I think we finally cracked the case. I've been asking you guys this question. We've got a couple calls we're going to get to, but DC saying the Guardians wouldn't be here without Nick Wilson making a bet to win a gourmet burger. You're welcome, Cleveland. You are damn Skippy. No one. And I don't even want to do that. I don't want to do the egotistical thing of being like, nobody believed in this team. But yeah, nobody else in the station did. And I went there and I put $30 on the line. Thank you very much. Which for me might as well be $30,000. It's so funny. In the break, I had a few checked that I was thinking about choosing for this exercise we're doing. Had a few. And I finally settled on one, and I forgot to write it down on the piece of paper in front of me. And like a minute went by, and in Meredith's update, I suddenly realized I had forgotten. The good news is we had enough time in the commercial break for me to remember. It's Tanner Bibee. And this is, in all due respect, to Emmanuel Clase. Seeing a lot of Emmanuel in the answers that Nick Wilson says, you cannot be wrong if you say Emmanuel Clase. If you say Hosey, if you say Kwan, if you say Naylor, if you say John Kensie or Manzardo, if you say literally almost anybody on this roster, I will not fight you. But the reason why I put Tanner Bibee, if Clase went down, you still had at one point five guys who were giving you quality high leverage innings and high leverage pitching earlier in the season. That doesn't mean that I would like that to happen. I'm just saying you had five other guys in that bullpen that were also lights out. If you say Hosey, you can then go to Kwan, and you can go to Josh Naylor. You can go to other guys in the lineup. There has been one guy who's been with this starting rotation from pretty much start to finish and who's given you a chance to win damn near every night that he's been out there, and it's been Tanner Bibee. And I know that complicates the question for me about who should start game one of the playoffs, because you guys know I really like the idea of having a veteran out there. But Tanner Bibee has actually been better this year than he was last year. Don't pay attention to ERA. His walks are down. His strikeouts are up. His home runs are a little up, but that was from a stretch, kind of middle of the season. By and large, every key metric with Tanner Bibee that needs to go down went down. Everyone that needed to go up went up. And I really don't know. Like, if you look at the 166 innings he pitched, if you had to take those out, I have no idea how you do it. Because you already had to do it with Ben Lively and, Matthew Boyd. You had to, the uncertainty with Gavin Williams and Tristan McKenzie coming up and coming down and Logan Allen, whatever the hell happened to Logan Allen, and Bieber going out. It was every time you turned and you needed a win, five quality innings, Tanner Bibee did give it to you. 216-474-0092. I felt that was very demonstrative. That Tanner is where I start the conversation. That you would not be where you are this year for the Cleveland Guardians if not him. Let's go to Derek in Lakewood. Derek, welcome to the show, buddy. Go Guards.
What's up, Nick? Go Guards. How you doing?
Doing well, bud.
I love it. Well, I could piggyback a little bit off of what you said, but I want to give a bigger answer. What about Carl Willis? Start of the year, Bieber goes down. He basically gets dealt with a rotation that's set up with me, you, and Mac. And all of a sudden, we're winning games. He set up the bullpen. He's got such a calming effect on these guys, I think. Like, if I had a panic attack, I'd want him sitting next to me and talking me down. I think it goes a long way, and he's done a lot with the staff and this from the rotation to the bullpen. So I give him all the credit in the world.
Carl Willis, life coach, would be a very interesting docuseries. If he went like the Woj route, I'm done being the best pitching coach in the game. I'm going to be a life coach. I would watch that series, Derek. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely.
I love the vibes there. Derek was on fire. Jack in Strongsville, what you got for us, buddy?
Nick, how you doing, man?
Very, very well. Good day to be a Gardos fan.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. I don't think the Guardians are where they are right now without Ben Lively. And I think that your thoughts on Tanner Bibee are 100% valid, spot on. But, you know, you look at what you said, you look at what the caller right before me said, Beaver goes down, McKenzie and Logan Allen look like absolute shells of themselves, and you're essentially looking a one-man rotation in the eye with Tanner Bibee. Ben Lively, who comes into the season as a journeyman, probably no more than a fifth starter if Beaver stays healthy and McKenzie and Allen pitch well. He comes in, and he's, I think, at times the best pitcher on this team, at least in the first half. I know the second half was a bit rougher, but with having him in the rotation and having him giving the performances he had, backing up the offense, backing up Bibee, getting, you know, going out there, eating up innings, getting wins, having solid outings, I think without him, if you leave it up to just Bibee, I don't know if this team builds the confidence it does to be able to pull off some of the wins they did. But I think by having this guy that, again, is a journeyman and really goes out and completely outperformed himself in the first half, I think that just did immeasurable help for this team's confidence and for this team's mental to get to where they are now.
Jack, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
By the way, Ben Lively, not a free agent till 2029. Not arbitrational eligible till 2026. Chris in Mayfield, the Guardians wouldn't be where they are without, fill in the blank.
I'll fill in the blank. Nevada, Vegas, Wilson, N.V. Wilson. That's how I like your name. Anyways, I agree with you with Bibee, but what I'm going to go with Class A. He is going to, you know, break the record, season record for saves. And I love how Vogt uses him when we go into extra innings. Because what are we now, 10-3 maybe in extra innings? When he'll throw him out there in the ninth, the top of the 10th, shut those guys down. And you darn well know the Tribe's going to get, you know, the guy on second home. Bibee, what I think a lot of people don't realize, that guy was in AAA the year before last year. And that guy came up and was proving himself to be a number one. And now he's doing it again. So, yes, Bibee, but I think it's Class A. And I have to say one more thing. And this is off the Tribe, but I got to say kudos to the Browns, Jim Donovan getting into the Hall of Fame immediately. I miss that cat. I'm sure he's going through a lot. God bless him. Envy, you have a good one.
You too, Chris. Thanks so much, buddy. We second the thoughts on Jimmy. It's going to be a very special weekend here, and hopefully you can put the exclamation point of a Browns win over the Giants. But well said there. Anthony, real quick, saying Fry and Lively, the 5 at 5 at 6. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.